Right now, we want to talk about a lot of the issues with gay and lesbian issues. There's a big seminar coming up next week at the University of Akron about this, called, fittingly, The Social and Legal Implications of Same-Sex Relationships. I think that pretty much sums up what it's going to be. So we've got on the line with us, we've got Stephanie Kuntz joining us on the line from Olympia, Washington, a nationally recognized and award-winning author who looks at these issues. And also Pam Schultz joins us in studio from the University of Akron. Ladies, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
It's great to have both of you on. So, Pam, I want to start with you. We talk a lot about gay marriage and that legal issue, but there are a lot of other issues that come into play here too, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely. There are issues around adoption, whether there is a legal marriage or not. There are issues around inheritance, who can pick up your child at school. Just simple issues like who can be visited in the hospital and what circumstances. Life gets really complicated when these legal issues are not determined yet. It's all sort of, we're kind of figuring it out as we go along, and there are new court decisions, seems like every week, that change the whole legal landscape, and that changes the social landscape.
Is a lot of that because the gay marriage isn't legalized at this point? If it were legalized, would that knock out a lot of the dominoes?
Well, then the definitions would be clearer, the law would be clearer, then the same-sex partner would have the same legal rights as any other spouse. So, yeah, that would pretty much, the social issues wouldn't all be sorted out miraculously by that, but a lot of the practical issues and the legal issues would be much clearer and much easier.
And Stephanie, jump in here. I'm curious, too, about a lot of those practical issues that maybe don't wind up in court, but just some of those issues that happen to pop up.
Well, of course, one of the problems with not having legal marriage for same-sex couples is that they don't do relationships that much better than heterosexuals do. And so what happens when they split up? The point about one of the good things about having clear rules, exit rules in relationships, is that you don't have one person left behind. Maybe somebody, for example, who has given up their job in order to stay home and facilitate the other person's career. Divorce laws allow people to sort this out and to exit in a responsible and fair way. And so when you don't have same-sex marriage or you don't have it in all of states, it makes it very difficult for couples to split up as well as to stay together in the ways that Pam was talking about.
Now, I wonder, and either one of you can jump in on this, there are still a lot of people who are opposed to gay marriage, and suppose that gay marriage stays illegal, which I don't think is going to happen. It seems like gay marriage is going to be legalized in most places relatively quickly. But in the meantime, how much in terms of the law can be done, maybe at the legislative level, to fix some of these issues that pop up?
Well, I'll let Pam take that because I'm more of a historian of marriage and can talk about the extent to which same-sex marriage does or does not, and I would say not, pose a threat to heterosexual marriage. But Pam, why don't you take that particular question?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, so just let me preface all my comments
all right.
with that. My area is child and family development, and so it's not in my wheelhouse either. And for me, the point of this seminar is so we can address that very question, because what I found is when I talk to lawyers and when I talk to judges, it's being handled a little bit differently in different courts and in different cases. There's no one clear path, especially in states like Ohio, that's a prohibition state, where we have a constitutional amendment specifically denying couples in same-sex relationships the rights that we would give to a married heterosexual couple. It makes things very difficult. And things like divorce, as Stephanie pointed out, or things like dissolving a relationship, things like how to make sure two parents both have legal rights, are very complex. And there's just not one clear path. That's why the seminar is necessary.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like there's some complicated stuff here. And a lot of those social issues, like you both talked about, are very important because those are things that get debated a lot when you're talking about the issue of gay rights. And I think one of the ones that popped up, we've talked a little bit about the parenting. And either one of you jump in on this one. I'm curious about that because a lot of people say, oh, well, if they've got, you know, hetero or homosexual parents, two men, two women, whatever, that they're not going to get raised the right way. That's still an argument that I hear a lot, that sometimes you hear it refuted, but not always. But a lot of people still talk about it.
Well, we have accumulating evidence on this now. When it first started, there were a lot of studies that suggested that same-sex couples, kids raised by a lesbian or gay parent, were having a problem. But the problem with those is that they were studying individuals who had divorced, who had been in heterosexual marriages, come out as gay or lesbian. And instead of comparing the kids of divorced gay and lesbian parents to the kids of divorced heterosexual parents, they took these big averages and they found that on average some of these kids had deficits. Well, that's not surprising. And in fact, one of the best arguments for same-sex marriage is that two parents, if they're cooperating, are generally better than one. So the next set of studies showed actually some interesting advantages for kids raised by gay and lesbian parents, especially lesbian parents, who, you got two moms teaching them emotional skills, and it seems to have paid off. But there were some problems with those studies, too, because those were convenience samples. And, you went and you asked people to volunteer to be studied. Well, who's going to volunteer to be studied? It's people who are pretty confident in their parenting, people who are doing pretty well. So it's really only in the last few years that we have had randomly selected long-term studies comparing the outcomes of kids raised by heterosexual parents and same-sex parents. And the answers are pretty reassuring. There are very few differences between them. In fact, there are some areas in which they do have advantages. There are some areas in which kids raised by same-sex parents may face bullying or teasing. That's a problem. But, of course, that's a good reason, again, to go forward rather than backward. We're not going to force gay and lesbians back into the closet in today's environment. So giving them the social recognition will help their kids. And another interesting caveat is they've found that sometimes these kids grow up more resilient and more empathetic precisely because they did have to deal with people.
That's interesting. Got to get a break in here. Stephanie Kuntz is joining us. Pam Schultz in studio with us as well, talking about some of these social problems that you don't really hear talked about a lot when you're talking about that gay marriage debate, which is always a hot one. Joining us in studio is Pam Schultz from the University of Akron. Stephanie Kuntz, who's a nationally recognized author looking at some of the gay marriage issues. She joins us on the line from Olympia, Washington. There's a big symposium coming up next week at UA called The Social and Legal Implications of Same-Sex Relationships. And Pam, maybe we should have started with this, but you have all kinds of different aspects and angles and takes on some of these issues that you're going to be bringing together at UA next week.
Right. I mean, it's an issue that is going to affect all different kinds of professionals. You know, healthcare professionals, people in education, social workers, lawyers, judges. So it's important to have a comprehensive and interdisciplinary approach to this complex issue. And that's always been our approach. We do these seminars every 18 months. And we always bring together professionals from various disciplines. It's always a partnership between the law school and the Center for Family Studies. This particular one also has partnership with Women's Studies and Multicultural Issues. So we are bringing together stakeholders from across the community to kind of, in a more comprehensive, more complex way, kind of grapple with these issues and come up with some. We don't solve all our problems in the seminar, but at least we have a solution-focused approach.
That's very good. Now, Stephanie, we were talking here during the break, and I don't know if you could hear it, about some of the numbers regarding what people think about gay relationships, gay marriage, things like that. And Bobby was saying that she was kind of surprised that older people aren't very accepting of gay marriage. And Pam and I are sitting here going, yeah, we can kind of see that. We understand where that comes from. So where does that come from?
Well, I think that what we've seen on the question of same-sex marriage is a stunningly rapid change in people's attitude. I mean, it's moved faster than any other social issue that I know of as a historian, accepting female equality, accepting racial equality. The motion has been very, very fast. And I think a lot of it has to do with changes in heterosexual gender relations. You know, as long as people thought that proper marriage had a man who earned all the money and a woman who loved, honored, and especially obeyed, took care of the home, stayed home, played those rules, then it seemed just like crazy to think that, well, gosh, how could two men or how could two women marry? But now that heterosexuals mostly, and especially the younger generation, mostly expect to share the breadwinning, share the child rearing, share the housework, be flexible about who does what, I think it's easier to imagine that, well, gosh, you don't have to have a marriage between two strict gender roles. And that means I think there's more openness to the idea that, well, let people follow their hearts. Just the way heterosexuals do. And so that's why I think that it's more popular among young people. They tend to be more liberal in general, but I also think that the changes in gender role expectations have got proceeded further in the younger generation, and that's one reason they're more popular.
I'm curious too, Stephanie, really quick before we go, as I talk to some of my friends who are politically conservative that are young, even they are starting to support gay marriage and gay issues and things like that. Is that something that's being seen nationwide?
Oh, absolutely. The South, we think of the South as a more socially conservative one, but there's only a couple points difference in their support for same-sex marriage today. Many evangelicals have come to accept it, or the younger generation at least pulled back from opposing it the way the older generation did. Actually, there's one little issue there that presents an interesting problem, and that is, to what extent does acceptance of same-sex marriage make it easier to condemn single people, heterosexual or same-sex, who don't get married? So there's lots of other issues involved, but I do think we are moving very rapidly on this question.
Wow, I hadn't even thought of how that might work with single people. That's really interesting. Wow, how about that? All right, guys, we're just about out of time here, but Pam, one more time, let's get the information about this, because I think you guys are going to be throwing out some very interesting information at this symposium next week.
The seminar is September 11th. It's an all-day seminar. Our registration begins at 8, and the introductory remarks begin about 8:30, and we run all the way till 4:15. And afterwards, if you're interested, there's also a follow-up seminar that's an entirely different committee doing that. And that's at 7 o'clock at the Jewish Community Center on White Pond Drive. We're at the all-day seminar is at the Quaker Station.
Okay, very cool. And I guess for the lawyers, too, there's going to be the education credits, too, right? So that's always good.
And social workers and counselors and marriage and family therapists.
We like that.
Go to the law school continuing education webpage to register.
Got it. All right, Pam Schultz, Stephanie Kuntz, thanks for joining us. It's 1129 on 1590 WAKR.